This is James Manross, and the date is November 10th, 1975, and we are interviewing former Mayor Walt Pestrak of Warren, Ohio.
Today we are talking to Mr. Walter Pestrak, who was Mayor of Warren in 1960 and 1961. Mr. Pestrak, could you give us a brief biographical sketch of your family's history?
Jim, I came to Warren in 1924 from Manesson, PA, which is a coal mine steel town in western Pennsylvania, and have lived in Warren since 1924. This is my 50th year here.
What were your ambitions and goals when you were in school?
As strange as it may seem, Jim, when I was a youngster and walked through Warren many times, I especially were concerned railroad tracks and facilities downtown. I used to wonder if I ever, when I grew up, became old enough to vote, if I ever could become mayor and could make some changes in Warren, and ultimately the dream came through many years later.
What did you do after you graduated from high school?
Jim, I came out of school in 1932 from Warren G. Harding High School, January 32, which was the Depression years, and I had saved enough money to go to college, University of Chicago, to study architecture, but in view of the Depression, I had to forego that to help my family. So I went back to postgraduate work at Harding, and I took night courses for many years to try to keep up my education since I couldn't go to college. I took an electrical engineering course, a home study course in 36. Spent 1,200 hours on it and got a degree from ICS. And if anybody tells you that it's self-going home study, don't let them kid you. That's tough because there's nobody there to assist you. You have to dig it out of the books. And I took several other courses, electronic courses. I became a welding engineer at Federal Machine and Welder in 1936 and was in that business, in and out of that business for 25 years with government service mixed up in between.
From research, I gathered you had quite a successful term as Warren Safety Director from 1948 through 1950. What were some of your accomplishments during that?
Well, in 1948, 49, and 50, I was able to come up with Warren's master plan. I was a close personal friend of the late Congressman Michael Kerwin from Youngstown. And he took a fancy to me for some reason or other. And we did the first master plan study in Ohio for a town. It's still never been completed, but among the first, the Outer Beltline was begun in 48 and 49 and 50. The South Street relocation of the tracks, urban renewal projects, those were all put down first in paper. I think the biggest thing that I can be proud of is that I negotiated a 50-year contract with the U.S. Corps of Engineers for water from Mosquito Reservoir for the city of Warren, 60 million gallons a day, and signed a 50-year contract, which is good until 1998. I think if I could point to one accomplishment, that would be the biggest.
I know in my research, when you were mayor, I found out things about the South Street tracks and the urban renewal program, but I had no idea they originally started then. I thought it started during your Mellon administration. After you were city safety director, until you were mayor, what did you do?
Jim, I went back into the welder business and became a welding consultant for several companies in Detroit and handled three states in this area. As a welder consultant, I was involved in all types of equipment as it related to steel mill operations. That would be strip mills, galvanizing lines, neon pickle lines. That would be companies like J&L, through Wien Engineering, Aetna Standard, U.S. Steel, Allegheny Ludlum, etc.
What prompted you to become mayor, or decided to run for mayor in 1959?
Well, I had served as city safety director, and there's a span from when I left in 51 until 59 that I felt that I had some better ideas, and the mayor had been there 8 years, and politically speaking, I thought it was the right time to run for mayor. I was on the planning commission, I was on the fireman's pension board, and I was still active. I was vice chairman of the Democratic Party, and I felt the time was ripe.
Was former Mayor Burbank your opponent in 1959?
Yes, he was. He had been the first four-term mayor in most history, and they claimed he was unbeatable, but we did put together a good organization, and I hit the doors, and that's how you win elections.
What was your margin of victory?
It was about 750.
Upon entering office January 1960, you stated your goals, your many goals, and you mentioned a program of progress. Would you consider that a success?
I would consider it a partial success, Jim, because in 2 years, usually when you get into office, it takes you 6 months to recover and catch up with what the former administration had been trying to do, and you either undo it or come up with your new program. So it takes you about 6 months to get in the harness, and then by the time that you plan your program, you've run out of time and you're running again. The terms now are 4 years, which are much better for a mayor. But we did start the program of progress and started the beginning of the master plan. We did build some housing units. I got $5 million for the elderly housing, which is located in Warren. We did begin the South Street project and Northwest Bridge project, which were part of my projects. And the plans were made, and unfortunately, I didn't get elected to the second term, and the fellow that followed me took credit for a lot of work that we'd started.
From my research, didn't you also get 422 widening started?
Yes. Our plan was, Jim, to run a wheel around Warren. But prior to that was to take care of the spokes, and the spokes would be all the major thoroughfares in the city that connected to the Outer Beltline. And the idea was that if state routes were permitted to remain on there, we could get a 90-10 allocation from the state. In other words, all we needed was 10% of the money, so that 422 was shifted. And we had intended then to widen Parkman Road and Elm Road, and unfortunately, they're not widened yet.
Was there something about East Market Street, too?
Yes. East Market Street was, I finished East Market Street widening, which was begun many years previous to that. And we did move Route 422 from East Market Street to South Street to make it eligible for federal aid.
You called for strict law enforcement and the eradication of vice and gambling and making Warren a clean city. Would you consider this a success?
I think so. I think that we were able to eradicate most of the crime and any of the gambling that was prevalent throughout the many years. Back in the late 40s, it was a lot more a problem than it was in the 60s.
Why weren't you in favor of Champion's annexation unless water was supplied to the residents? From what I read, City Council thought the other way. They wouldn't give Champion water unless they agreed to an annexation.
Well, Jim, as you will note now, Champion has water. And I did push for Champion water because I felt that we should be in a water business, City of Warren. In other words, we had embarked on a 40-year program of plant development and expansion. And I had initially offered Champion water by coming down 305 and 45, and they had turned it down. And then many years later, the people realized they made a mistake, and I feel that Warren should now be in the water business. In other words, it's a commodity to sell, and it can make a profit.
In 1960, there was a lot of controversy in the Warren Charter, and what I read about, I frankly couldn't understand it. Did you say something about it?
Well, it's very simple. I got involved in a Warren Charter fight because the Charter Commission had come to the City Council one evening with one copy of the charter and decided that they were going to change the government of Warren. And it wasn't so much that I was opposed to possibly the type of charter they were coming forth with. I was opposed to the method they used. They came in one evening with one copy and asked Council, said, here's your copy of the charter, and we want it passed immediately tonight. And they provided in their, they wanted Council in two ordinances to come up with $5,000 and turn it over to the Warren Charter Commission. Also, they wanted several other things in there that I thought were illegal, so I vetoed the ordinances, and they mandamused me to the Supreme Court of Ohio, where I defeated the Warren Charter Commission The Supreme Court ruled that the mayor had a right to veto any portion of an ordinance that entailed money. And the other item they wanted to eliminate the 2 to 4 weeks advertising to less than 2 weeks, which is illegal.
From my research, I gather you initiated plans for the multi-million dollar sewage treatment project. Is this correct, and was anything to do with what you and Mr. Kerwin did when you were city safety director?
Partially, Jim. We had received an edict for the Ohio Water Development Authority, which at that time was the forerunner of EPA, and they had indicated to the city of Warren that we must clean up the river, clean up the stream. And I had started back in the late 40s the plans for the Warren Zephyrs and for the plant. And when I left in 51, Mayor Burbank came in, and he had successfully completed the plant, but not the interceptors, and we finished the job up.
In 1960, there were some bad feelings between you and the Tribune over the widening of South Street. What instigated this, and why were they so adamantly opposed to it?
Well, they were opposed to it for what I always considered selfish reasons. What I wanted to do, Jim, was to widen the South Street on the north side and then negotiate the track removal, which was on the south side. And in the meantime, we would have had a three-lane highway, which would have been better than a narrow street. And they objected vehemently because we were about to tear down one of the concrete block buildings, and therefore they started a campaign of photographs and editorials against it. But if you walk on her, you will see that exactly the way I wanted to do it is exactly the way it was done. The road was widened and the tracks were removed to the south. I think most of it was they didn't want a Democrat to take credit for it, because they talked about it for 50 years, but I was the one fellow that was the prime mover of it, and Democrats get very little credit in the Warren Tribune.
I've noticed that. My father and I also can remember what a bottleneck 422 and South Street was before this. Police Chief English complained during administration that he needed more men and cars, and from what I gather, you were able to do this. How was this accomplished?
Well, I think the primary way it was accomplished was it's your priorities, Jim. When you go into office and you have X amount of dollars, and we were able to, by prudent operation, affect some savings in other divisions and make sure that the police protection, law enforcement, traffic safety were first. One of the things I instituted, which they don't use anymore, which I still feel is good in the summer months, is I had a six-man motorcycle patrol for traffic control. It's a lot easier and a lot cheaper to control traffic if you have six motorcycle policemen in the daylight hours than if you run two men in a cruiser. I think this is an expensive way to control traffic.
You had a conflict with the council over the construction of the sewer. They wanted to pay it now, and the council wanted a pay-as-you-go plan, which, from what I read, you said it would take like 20 years or something like that. Is this correct, and is this why you were against this?
No, I don't think that had as much to play with it as the part that the Ohio Water Development Authority was going to fund us $500 a day to complete the project. Therefore, they were arguing pay-as-you-go, but they would have been in trouble if they'd have gone on that operation. I think it's easy if you do your project, come out with your mortgage revenue bonds, set your interest rates, which are set at the lower rate years ago. If they'd have been going pay-as-you-go now, they'd be into a high interest rate. I still think that I had the proper way to go. It was just not my idea. I had consulted with Squire Sanders and Dempsey Bond Council and Havens and Emerson, the engineers, and I felt they knew more about it than the ordinary layman.
Financed by the selling of bonds. Now, I'm a little bit vague. Could you explain it a little bit?
Well, Jim, let's assume that was a $15 million project. So what you do, you borrow a note, you put a mortgage against the city of Warren, and you borrow the money. When you complete the project, you assess the people. You find out if the project was $15 million and you have X amount of people, then you can set your sewer rates based on your water consumption. And every year, you'll notice at home, you get a bill every 3 months for water. And if you look on your bill, you'll see a sewage cost, which I think is 90% of your water bill. So over a period of years, it was set that so much money could be generated, And in so many years, that debt could be paid off. It's like putting a mortgage on your house, paying the interest and the principal every month.
In 1962, why did Kemp keep passing measures to advertise for the bids and to, you know, get the contracts? They never gave you authority to award the contracts and finance the project.
Well, Jim, as you know, right after that, some of those went to jail. So you draw your own conclusions. What the director and I wanted to do based on the engineer's recommendations, the engineer got $500,000 for designing the job, for advising us. And every time we get bids in, and he'd advise council would restrict us winning the contract. So you draw your own conclusions. As I said, some of them went to jail.
From what I read, it seemed the council was acting very rational in everything, and I can imagine you got very frustrated by this.
I was very frustrated, but I did. I was very upset that thing broke about 2 weeks before the election, because it never gave me a chance to the people. Usually the people are everybody with the same stick. I had no involvement in that scandal. I was from the beginning warning the prosecutor's office and other peoples that there were some things going on they should look into, but nobody was in there until it blew up.
Was Warren Sewage going to the Mahoning River at that time?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was not being processed. It's now being processed, I would say, 90% of it. Step one process, and then it is returned to the river. I think under the EPA edict, Warren has to go into step two, which means it'll be between 95 and 98% treated. And then the third step would be to add phosphates and make it 100% pure.
Did the robberies by a couple members of the Warren Police Department at that time affect your ability to administrate and affect your relations with the police department?
Jim, I think that happened a year previous to my coming in. I think it had a lot of effect on the election, on the fact that the mayor was in trouble there, because there was not some stern measures taken at the time. And had I had another term in there, I don't know whether you recall this, Jim, but there was a chief of police removed by me in 1950, and I might have had the second one if I'd have stayed there two more years.
The Monzo Corporation and the head of it, who later was indicted, said that their bid was the lowest bid. Is this true? And if it is, why was it turned down?
No, it is not true. It was about $50,000 higher. He was, let me back up. He was a low bidder, but Havens and Emerson, due to the fact that they had a lot of difficulty in Niles and the fact that somebody was killed or injured on their job, indicated that they felt that he wasn't qualified to do that job, and they wrote a letter, which is still on file, advising the Board of Control, which is the director and myself, to award it to the second low bidder, feeling that in the long run it would be a lot better than the actual low bidder. But previous to that, Jim, we had bids even better than that council refused to accept because of the stipulation that all we could do is advertise, and they awarded the contracts.
Which they didn't do. Why was it that city council on numerous issues, besides like the one we've been talking about, reject something, and then were confronted with disaster and the removal of services, they changed their vote only when they're confronted with a crisis? It seems very irrational to me.
One of the problems is with local government, Jim, is that usually the people that are elected to council are part-time councilmen that work in a plant at that time. There's nothing against anybody working in a plant or shop. But here you are as the mayor or the director, and you spend anywhere from 60 to 80 hours a week at job following up and familiarizing yourself. And council is part-time, and a normal councilman comes in every 2 weeks and picks up his legislation. And if he's subject to any pressure from any groups, either in his ward or citywide, then he looks at it from a political standpoint as to how it affects his election and not whether it's good or bad for the citizens.
In September, as we've talked about, three councilmen, especially Councilman Little, were indicted and convicted of soliciting money for extortion purposes from the companies to construct the sewer system. You mentioned before that I think you said you had an inkling of what was going on. True?
No, I didn't have an inkling of what was going on in that particular case. When I first came into office, I was advised by other people that seven of the councilmen that were in there had been playing this game for 8 years. And I did go to the prosecutor on several occasions and to the Warren paper, to Jim Griffin as the head of the union, and indicated to him that since three or four of those belonged to his union, that I thought he should call them in and try to put a stop to whatever they were doing. And apparently they kept on doing it until it broke and they got themselves in trouble.
From when I read the newspaper, I gathered that the district councilman intended to solicit money from two contracts for both companies. Now, I could not understand Monzo and Ferrer. I couldn't understand how they would intend to vote for one or the other when they were soliciting money from both. How could they, yes, please one and please both of them?
I'm sorry I couldn't answer that because I wasn't privy or party to that, thank God, and I don't know what they had in mind, but whatever it was wrong.
The mysterious work stoppage on the scandal, when the scandal broke out, was this, I'm not sure, not. I know that the heads of the companies were threatened unless they gave them money, but was this the main reason why it stopped? I couldn't find it.
Because their lives were in danger?
Why did City Council keep voting against the South Street Bridge? If I'm correct in what I gathered, you said the city would have to pay for something like 15% of it?
We could have built that bridge for $15,000, Jim. You answered your own question up a few paragraphs before. They wouldn't vote for anything that I wanted to push for obvious reasons.
Would you consider the all the bad publicity of the sewer scandal and everything as why you were defeated in the election?
No doubt about it. The thing broke in October, and the election was in November, and I never had a chance. People were stirred up about it, and regardless of what you say, they wouldn't believe you. One of the reasons I ran for county commissioner was to vindicate, if that's the word. I didn't do anything. I was not involved, but wanted to run to show that I could win an election.
What was, to summarize your 2 years in office, what would you consider your main accomplishments?
Well, I would say the beginning of the master plan, which included the removal of tracks and South Street widening, the resurfacing of Market Street, the beginning of the Outer Belt Line, the engineering on it, the high-rise apartments for the elderly, which were my project. I did get $5 or $6 million for that, and I'd say in the span of 2 years that my administration did a lot more than some previous or ones that have followed the administration. We were progressive. Had I had a council of people that were interested, this town could have been something great. I might indicate also there was a downtown mall planned across from the courthouse, which involved 34 stores way before Eastwood Mall, and council turned a deaf ear, and so did the Chamber of Commerce and local press, and that was the beginning of the end of the city of Warren's downtown.
Despite the bad things that happened, would you say you're satisfied with your administration? I mean, would you do it again?
I don't know whether I'd run for mayor again now, but no, I wasn't satisfied with my administration. I was very unhappy because I had to fight council all the way on what I thought were good projects. They turned down $50, $60 million worth of federal aid. I did have some advantages being a charter member of the John F. Kennedy for President Club, and I was successful in bringing him here in 1960, where we had the largest crowd ever turned out in Warren. And after the election, President Kennedy promised me if he won and I needed some help for Warren, I should contact him or Bob Kennedy, which I did. And through Michael Kerwin, I was able to get allocated to Warren, but City Council fought every project. As a result of that, Warren fell by the wayside.
What have you been doing in political life since then?
Since then, since I was mayor, I left and went back into welder consultant business. And in 1964, I was appointed the first county administrator of Trumbull County. I served there till 69, and then I resigned and went back into welder consulting business. And somehow or other, I had a challenge to run for county commissioner. While people said I couldn't win because President Nixon had a landslide, I was able to unseat a one-term Republican, which I consider not a minor feat, especially when I beat him by 3,100 votes.
What does the future hold for you? Do you intend to run again or whatever?
Well, I haven't decided that yet, Jim. I have some alternatives. I don't know whether I want to stay in the pressure cooker any longer or not. I've had 30 years in and out of public life. I've held four top jobs in city and county, plus countless other appointments, and I don't know whether I'll run again or not. I haven't decided yet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pestrick.
The city council scandal occurred when three councilmen were indicted for attempting to solicit money from contracting companies to build a sewer system. Plus, the head of the Democratic Party, Warren Alcicchini, the chairman of the party, a man from now is Paul LaMange. LaMange worked for Cicchini, and LaMange threatened to kill both the heads of the company if they weren't awarded the contract, and if they were not, and if the company, and if the contracting company, Farrar, would not give them, Farrar Company from Detroit, would not give them $200,000, and the company would not do this, and then, fearing for their lives, they stopped work and left town. They started the whole process of the indictments of the three councilmen, Alcicchini, the Democratic Party, and his henchman or whatever, Paul LaMange. There is more later in this. There is more towards the end of this tape. So continue toward that.